Chances. Two interlinked monologues by Susan Hill. With Judy Dench as the girl and Peggy Ashcroft as the woman. Part one, The Girl.
Now isn't that a lovely thing? That sun on the water and the people enjoying themselves. Would you look at that? And I don't begrudge them, not at all. Those little children, all naked. Our mam would never have... never. Ah, there now. I didn't think I'd ever get up here this morning. I thought you'd have given up and gone. This man, one of the commercials, he'd freckles all over his head, his scalp underneath, where the hair was going thin. You notice things like that. Well, I do. And he wanted 3 eggs. 3! So I got him 3. And I come back with the 3 eggs. And he said, "Sunny side up, did I not say?" Which he did not. "I want them sunny side up. Take them back." So back I go. And we're too short this morning. Carol again. Headache. Do you ever get headaches? I never get them. Oh, that sun on your face, isn't it wonderful? You'd go mad if you couldn't get somewhere. I would. All those rooms every day. Sometimes it comes to me, I'll sit on a bed in one of those rooms and think, I'll give it up. I have to. I suddenly see myself how I really am, cleaning bedrooms out, up and down stairs, thump, thump, thump along corridors, until I'm grey. My ankles get swollen now sometimes. I noticed that. This used to be a very classy town. Did you know that? You'd never have got the commercials, never. In those days. But it's not really a bad hotel. I sat on this bed. It had an orange cover, shiny. I thought, what am I doing? What future is there in it? Only, it's a very good place to be just here, just now, in the sunshine. And to be handy for Michael. There's not a cloud. Not one. Think of the places you could be. Oh, some terrible places. Like poor Sean. But you're the only person I could say I talked to since I got here. Truly, talk to. Not just eggs or sausages, going to be a lovely day again. If it wasn't for coming up here to meet you, I'd be really lonely. There's work. And then you lean out of the window sometimes at night wishing. Oh, and then you get so tired. Oh, there's a boat. Right out there now. Just one boat by itself. Oh, isn't that pretty? Like in picture books. Sailing on the water like a cup and saucer. That's the kind of thing you want your mind to save up for later. You'd think I'd talk to Michael when he comes. Anyone would be right to suppose that. Michael isn't much of a real talker. They work so hard on those ferries, never stop. He gets tired, though he never complains. The money's good. Not bad. I'd been reading in one of the Bibles, sitting on that bed, when it came to me how it was really a funny sort of life. Pulling sheets, rinsing basins, setting tables for eggs or sausages. And not even in me own home for me own family, where it's what you'd be expecting to do. I don't care to slip into too much thinking as a rule. Perhaps it was that Bible. They have them in the lockers. Every room has one. They're given. I just picked it up and opened it. It's true what they say about us, that we never read our Bibles. You just hear bits in the Mass, if you go to Mass. But never to sit down and read it. when a man hath taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favour in his eyes, because he hath found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement, and give it in her hand, and send her out of his house. And when she's departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. Well, I was never ever told of such things as that in the Bible. It'd make you start asking all sorts of questions, wouldn't it? If you was to sit down and read it through like any other book. And I looked, and behold a pale horse, and his name that was on him was Death, and Hell followed him. It frightened me sitting there. I thought after a bit, maybe it's all for the best that they don't encourage us to read it so much. Maybe they do know the truth. It doesn't do to think too much. Michael never thinks. That's why I can't talk to him. His mind's all sealed up. Can you understand? He was born like that. His father and his grandfather, they're all like that. All his brothers and his uncles. And my brother Sean. Makes me furious. I get really furious with him. He knows what he thinks about everything, and that what he thinks is the right thing to think. His mind's all sealed up, and never will admit a chink of light. You might wonder how a person could be like that. Oh, now, there's another boat, behind the first. Cups and saucers. Is the tide going out or coming in? I never can tell that. Swish. Swish. Oh, that's a lovely place for the little children. Down there by those rocks, all covered in pinky weed. I'd have loved to be in a real place like that when I was a little child. Little pools. Sometimes the water in those pools is colder than the sea itself. If you put your hand in, it takes your breath. The sun never strikes it. I go down there sometimes just to sit. I took Michael one evening. Just smell the smell, I said to Michael. Just smell it. It's a green smell. Cold and green. He didn't take to it. He's a very good looking person, you know, Michael. I think he is. And none of it is his fault. I wouldn't want you to think that. He can't help the way he was reared at home. He'd fight for me. Do you know that? He's very good. He's very kind. He'd give me anything, anything at all, if he had it. He's come off the ferry some weeks with his money in his pocket. And that's money he's worked for, day and night shifts. And it's terribly stormy sometimes, and still they have to work. And he said, here you are. You have that. You keep it. It's too much trouble to me. You do what's best with it. You put it away safe. Or buy yourself something. Anything, I don't care. And he really doesn't. So long as he's got a pound or two for his drink and his smokes and maybe a newspaper and he likes a chocolate bar. Well, that's how I mean, kind. It worries me. Because I don't think a man should be like that. Do you? Just handing his wages over. You have that. You take charge of that for me. That's like his mammy always did. Well, I won't be his mammy. There's times when I let myself see the truth. I know how things would turn out. Shall I tell you how I first found out? It was at Eileen Noonan's wedding. Eileen Noonan was the girl of a friend of Mam's. Very pretty. Well, quite pretty. But big, a great big girl. To see her walking down the street, you'd even feel sorry for her. Yet she had no difficulty getting a man that'd marry her. None at all. I liked Eileen Noonan. She'd stop off on her way home from work with maybe a heavy bag of shopping too and lean it against the wall and play with us. Toosie ball or French skipping, whatever was the craze. And we all went to a wedding. It was a grand occasion. It was just like a dream for us, a wedding day, with the sun shining and the flowers and everybody slapping each other round the shoulders who hadn't spoken for 15 years. I had a new frock. New to me. We all had something new. And then you should have seen the hall and the table piled high and the drink and the dancing. There was a fiddler and Eileen's cousin with the accordion, and the school teacher from St. Joseph sang, "This is my lovely day." And the sun shone and shone. He was a good man she was marrying, they all said, though he'd two black teeth right in the front, and one of them was broken, and that spoiled him for me. I went off to find the lav. It was down a corridor and a couple of steps at the back, and I came round this corner, and there she was. It was where they hung their coats, the caretaker and all, and there were some pegs and a wash basin and a wooden bench, and there she was. She'd a beautiful dress. Maybe I wouldn't think it was now, only when you're younger you think a wedding dress should be frills all up and down, as many as can be fitted on, don't you? Oh, I've changed in that respect. She was like an angel to me that day. The dress and the pure white flowers and the face shining like someone in a holy picture. She wasn't just Eileen Noonan. She was crying her eyes out. Not dainty crying. Her nose was running with it, and she was scrubbing her fists into her eyes. She never saw me. She never knew I'd been there at all. I never told anyone else, never. From that day until now, not a soul. It wouldn't have been right. And she came back from her honeymoon and lived in the next street, and she was just like anybody else. And she still stopped to play with us once in a way, till she had her own babies. And we were grown out of street games by then. Her man had his teeth out in the end, so there was a great hole, which, if anything, was worse than before. Why couldn't he do better than that? It made me furious to see him not bother. After that, I didn't think about them anymore. She was crying as though her heart was broken. And I just crept away and went to the lav and sat on there and thought it all out, what it meant. "Would you look at yourself with a face like a wet week?" our dad said. "Would you condescend to give them a smile or a wave or have you a pain in the you-know-where?" They were going off. She had a lilac suit, and they were going to Shannon Airport for a plane, which is a very big thing in those days. It wasn't 10 a penny as it maybe is now. And everybody'd had too much drink, and it wouldn't be long before they'd go back inside and have more, and then the fighting would start, like it always did, and we kids would be sent home. The sun had shone all day, but it stuck in my throat to shout and laugh and wish them luck and kiss everybody for miles around. Though I stared right deep into her eyes, Eileen Quinn she was now, and you'd never have told she'd been sobbing. So perhaps it was nothing. It wasn't nothing. I've come here to be handy for Michael. Why else would I be here? But I know how it would turn out. Whether he gave me all his wages every week or kept them to himself. Living at the back of his mam's or our mam's, or in two rooms that weren't our own. That'd be if we were very, very lucky. And the babies and him never at home. Or else at home too much of the time. And the babies getting coughs and colds, and you tied hand and foot to them and the love you love them with for the rest of your days. I should be grateful for Eileen Noonan's crying. Look at the sea. There's the rest of the wide world, and what could there be for me to do in it? Tell me that if you can. I'd like to see into my future, but I'd be afraid to. Today, I think, I just do not know how it'll be. But today is a good day, because of the sun on that sea and the little boats. And talking to you gives me a lot of satisfaction. Most days, I do know how it'll be, and no use pretending. But the only thing for certain is, one day I'll be dead. I wake up in the night, and I wonder when and where I'll die, and my heart almost jumps out of my mouth for the fear of it. I was thinking what you said about me going straight there, straight to the point. You said, when you've something to say, you say it. When there's a truth to be told, what's in your head or heart, you tell it. You said. I remember that. Do you know what I'd love? I'd love a cup of coffee and a cake. Brought me on a tray with one of those lace doilies and a silver spoon and the sugar like little chips a glass. And to eat the cake with a fork. Oh, but it's great to see the sun. I'm the lucky one. I know that. There's poor Michael on the long shift crossing back. So it's nearly morning by the time they're all cleared up. And he's to start again at 3. Sometimes, Mam gets a kitchen chair and sits at the street door to get a bit of the evening sun. You'd think it'd be easier with only Paul left there, but it's not so, she says. It's as bad as ever it was. 2 men at home and never lift a finger, and us girls not there to help any longer. It's dragging your legs about like weights, she says, because you're older. She looks older. She misses Sean. If I think at all about that day I went to see Sean, I could either shout or weep. If I close my eyes now and wish, I wish to open them and have him here with me, getting the pleasure of the sun and all, seeing the little boats. The old Sean. It was never meant to be Sean that was going for a priest. That was to be Patrick. But Patrick lost his faith and packed his bags when he was not yet 18 and came to England for a soldier. They wouldn't take him. His eyes were poor. He's got a wife now and no work. He doesn't write home out of shame, Ma says. Oh, I ought to go and see him. But it was Sean I saw in that terrible place. Oh, there was one summer when we were so happy. Some fishing friend of Dad's cousin, Eddie, knew of a farm. We went in the old car. The lot of us all scrambled in together. A week we went for. It could have been a lifetime. The smell of this grass just reminds me of it. If I press it down, so is my hand. And out of the open window, if it's warm at night. That's how I like to think of us. As though we were all still there in that place and I could go back to it. To us. Sean was the happiest of all. He'd run all over the fields without his shoes and wave his arms in the air. You're crazy! He was, and wouldn't give 2 sticks for anyone. That was the old Sean. Not now. Run away from this place, I said that day. Run, Sean. But he'd lost the heart even to think of it. He smoked cigarettes the whole time. One, then another. His fingers are yellow and brown with it. I hated the way he smelt. The whole house smelt. I went there on the train. You don't see a green thing, not a tree, not one bit of grass. Even the places where they kick the football or have an old slide and a swing are worn down to the brown earth. Even the parks where the old people sit on the benches. How can you stay here, I said. It's where I was sent, Sean said, in that voice I hate. That voice isn't his. I don't have the say. And then I've a mission to the people here, he said. They're good people. The place is important. But I could see his eyes. The way he looked round that brown room. He's gone thin with the work and the smoking. It's a little house and the parish priest is fat as lard. And he has a glass cabinet in his sitting room, just packed full of the most beautiful crystal, glasses and vases and dishes and bowls. He took a key off a chain and opened it. He took out a crystal vase. Put your hand to that, he said. And Sean's room isn't so big, but it feels big with just the lino and the crucifix and those black suits. There's a little bear garden and privet hedge, and you hear the traffic the whole time. You couldn't sit out there in the sun. There's a housekeeper. Yes, Father. No, Father. Kiss your ass for your father. It was to be Lent the week after. Sean was dreading Lent. He'd to give up his smoking. I hope you keep the faith, he said to me. I wanted to scream at him. I wanted to shake him, to let out the old Sean. I said, do you remember the farm and the hayloft and how I saw those two horses shot dead in the field and it was you I came running to? Do you remember taking the boat out onto the lake and saying, I'll lose us, we'll vanish, just you and me? He wouldn't talk about it. He wouldn't look in my face. I don't remember, he said. And that was a lie. Then a woman came knocking at the door, wanting to make a confession, and he'd to go. He's a little car, but I don't think he gets any pleasure from it. I sat in it. It smelled of the cigarettes. He'll smoke himself to death. He's my favourite brother. And it wouldn't matter, not any of it, if it was meant for him. If I'd seen the light shining there in his eyes, like I've seen it in others, to show he believed. But it was never any of it for Sean. He went for a priest in place of Patrick, to please her ma. It'll be all right, he said, the day he was packing for the seminary. It'll come out right. It's as wrong as could be. I hate them all. There now. I've said it. Do you see where the boy with the red bucket is going away up the beach? Do you see the line of his footprints shining wet? Oh, isn't that pretty? He can't see them. He's going to fill his bucket, maybe for a starfish. Only we can see his footprints like that, right up here. Do you like me bracelet? Have I shown it to you before? You get yourself something, says Michael, on my birthday. But he wouldn't go and choose it himself and wrap it up and all and make it a surprise. That's what I'd like. I went and chose it myself. It's a very nice bracelet. But it's not the same. That's how it always is. That's how it'll always be, isn't it? Disappointments. Da comes in and drops his boots right in the doorway, all caked with mud, or else wet through. They don't smell exactly like the new mown hay. Ma's always to bend down and pick them up and put them in their place. And I say, don't do it. Why should you? Don't put up with them. And she says, anything's better than a lonely old age. I can't make up my mind about that. So I'm here because of Michael. There's much worse places than the hotel to be working. I'd rather that than a shop. It's more homely. I like to talk to you. So long as I can come up here sometimes and talk to you, I feel all right. Most of the time. Isn't that sun really warm now? Isn't it a beautiful day? There's a lot more boats to see, little white boats. Ah, now it's coming in, the tide. You can tell that now. Those footprints are all filling up with water. You have to enjoy whatever you can. Soon you won't see that line of footprints at all. Today's a good day. You have to make the most of the good days. There aren't so many. I never thought I'd get up here at all this morning. You've got to remember that. Isn't the sunshine beautiful? This is what I'll remember. This is like those hayfields in summer and Sean going crazy in his bare feet. I'll say there was this. I'd be able to say that much. Isn't that sunshine beautiful?
Chances by Susan Hill. Part 2, The Woman.
The luggage just sat there. Anyone might have tripped over it. The girl went back to her typewriter in the office behind the glass. The luggage just sat there. Seemed as if we were expected to carry it ourselves. No one offered. Oh, there are changes every year. Hotel isn't what it was. In the old days. But there has always been someone to carry the luggage. I'll slip my coat off, it's so warm. He gets so irritable over things like that. He can be so very rude. People don't like it. I'm used to it. The way he speaks to me. Over 40 years. Other people don't like it. If I turn my back and watch the front door, the people coming in and out, or watch the promenade out of that window, I needn't watch him. His jowls go red like a turkey wattle. I needn't watch. I took the bags in the end. A girl took them. 3 flights of stairs, but she almost ran. Neat figure. No trouble at all, she said, and almost ran up. There used to be a porter. There used to be a boy in a uniform cap. Looked old. He had an old, wizened face so that you were never sure if he was a boy or not. The children used to laugh. Oh, 30 years ago. And you put your shoes outside the door at night for cleaning. She was Irish. He'd have walked well behind her trying to see up her skirt round the bends in the staircase. I like to watch the people on the promenade. I like the minutes alone. All changed, he says. And, of course, all made a muck of. Doesn't trouble me very much. I live in a room inside. A sand-coloured car pulled into the forecourt with a man's jacket hanging up on a peg beside the driver's seat. He said, "See that commercial traveller?" Gibbering. There were never under any circumstances cars on the front of the hotel in the old days. You stopped and got out if you had a car, then it was taken round the back with the luggage to the service entrance. I wish his teeth were better fitting, just at the side. Little things, easy to attend to, personal things. Courtesies, my mother said, these little courtesies about bodily matters make so much difference. Consideration, living together. Your father, she said, had impeccable habits. Consideration, remembering to close the lavatory door when you go in. Of course, it's perfectly true, there would never have been commercial travellers here in the old days. But in our room, there is a wardrobe, I'm sure I remember, and the same view of the sea in the promenade. Oh, I'll run up with them for you, don't you worry, won't take a moment. Sure, it's no trouble at all. And she was friendly. Familiar, even. The staff were never familiar. It was always like a play. I seemed to be on a stage, different parts, and now, well, an old woman. But it has been a way to get by, to be in a play so that none of it's ever real and can't touch me or hurt me. I stay inside my room with the door closed. I lock it. No one comes in. He never came in. But then life slipped by and somehow there should be something more. Something real. When he comes down, we'll have tea. In our room, there'll be a kettle and cups and saucers with tea or coffee in little bags and sugar and powdered milk for convenience. It's rather fun. But I should prefer tea on a tray now. And the sun has come out after all. Perhaps he'll have tried to press against her going into the room, brush against her, his shoulder near to her breast. But the Irish were always very strict. The evening is best here. I like the evening. But when the children were small, it was the early mornings. Leaving him in bed and going down onto the sand after the tide had gone right out. It was hard and flat and wet. It shone. Everything clean. Little boneless sea creatures in the cold rock pools. Dark pools. The first sun shone on their waiting faces. Then I stood still and then, oh, unlocked the door. Creep out. Look. The sun. The new day. Come very softly. Tell no one. Like the crab and the whelk peering out of the shell. Sometimes with the children in those early mornings, it was real. I would dare to come out of my room. There used to be a man with a moon face sweeping the gutters with a wet brush. And we look back at the line of our footprints. We are the first people at the dawning of the world, Roger said. I was terrified of my children. I looked into their faces, searching, and they looked back, knowing. They knew so much more than I did, knew the answers and the rules of the game. I shivered when they looked back. I closed my door and went inside. On the stage, the lights came up. Bright sunlight, a morning. Let's run back, let's get a starfish. Let's shout, let's have 10 sausages for breakfast. Let's go and jump on him. Run, run, run. They ran. There's no bell to ring. There used to be a small brass bell on every table for service. It's not the same. I looked the part. A little lace at the collar and a seed pearl brooch. The correct number of wrinkles. If they were to glance across, they'd see I looked the part. They'd say, that lady will be waiting for tea. But in the evenings, could have been the south of France, almost. The play was more fashionable. But I never came out of my room. I liked the evenings. My heart used to pound with excitement. I touched the skin of my own neck and arms as I changed. There was the smell of scent and the feel of light silk, the cold of a heavier bracelet on my wrist. I twirled in front of the mirror. I liked this act of the play. The children went to bed. Of course, we always brought Angeline. Did she mind, evening after evening? Did she creep down and talk in whispers in the shadows to someone's driver, the porter by the door? People went walking out in the summer evenings. Just a shawl slipped over the shoulders. It really was a promenade. Doors were open onto gardens, and pools of light were on the flowers, the paths. Insects danced. It seemed romantic. I could pretend. People smiled, half nodded. It was all couples, arm in arm. I scarcely minded that. And the lights of the harbour twinkled. It was always warm. In the next hotel there was a small orchestra. A few couples danced. I wanted to go in. Cocktails in triangular glasses. Cheap, he said. The pianist wore a cream jacket. He was older than he pretended. He'd play anything you wanted. People called out. A nightingale sang in Berkeley Square. Blue Moon. His eyes were miles away. He was smiling. Smiling like a dummy. Smiling into the darkness. But nothing. Playing on. There was the promise of something in the air then. I held my breath. I listened. But I never unlocked my door. I only walked about in a dream on that stage. Arm in arm. She wasn't here last year. After a while the Irish girls seemed the same. But she wasn't here. Mrs. Dollimore? She was the housekeeper. And the head waiter was Swiss. Oh, year after year. When Roger was 9, he said at lunch in the dining room, "Send this fish back. This fish stinks." Two little children tottering towards me, laughing, arms out to me, then running the other way. His father's son. I never knew them. Even when they were babies, somehow. You're like the pig, I thought, looking down at Joan. I felt as if a great storm had been raging over me hour after hour, and in the morning it had rolled away. The tide had gone out, carrying my body with it, leaving a shell, clean as a bone. And this baby in the blanket, snuffling through her nose. Tiny eyes. "Like Alice's pig," I said. Even then. "Send this fish back." I thought I was going to faint with shame. We were sitting at a table in the bay window, and it was raised up on a little dais of its own. "This fish stinks." Another stage. The audience staring up, shocked. "Boy's learning anyway," he said. But oh, I stayed deep in my room. "Like the storm, it will pass," I said. "This will pass." It passed. They brought another plate of fish. I was afraid of the cleverness in that boy's face. When the girl lay in the bed and looked down at her baby and said, "Like the pig," I said from inside my locked room, "Mother, mother," I said to the girl, mockingly. "There, there, there. What is it? What's the matter? Don't cry. There, there." Those were my lines. When it comes down, then we'll have tea. He can ask. He can rap on the reception desk. But he'll want to go for a walk, see the changes. Look at that. Place goes down every year. Look at the Charibons. Come on, look what they've done over there. Look at that. There are always one or two people. You can find someone to talk to. Not too friendly, but that woman in the green and cream. Home counties, our sort of people, our age. Lines are drawn and we stay within them. I needn't leave my room. She has had her tea. But once he slept and snored, and I slipped out just once. It was very late, and I went down the promenade onto the foreshore by the boats. I went alone. There were different smells down there. Frying fat and beer. And the sugar of the donut stalls. Tap, tap, very high heels. And the girls leaned on the arms of sailors. Nobody knows who I am. Who am I? Who knows, I said. I looked into their faces, and they knew things too, but they'd have been glad to share. They laughed. They shrieked with laughter. Kiss me quick, they said, and did, in doorways and behind the low sea wall, thumbing fingers and stroking, and soft moans and cries with the sound of the sea, and I looked and listened. Secrets. Hello, sweetheart, all alone. No, not that. I knew that. What I wanted was not that. Was... I ran. But even now, if I open the window at night, if I close my eyes, even now, our room, our bed, he snores and grunts. He has a fat neck. But I can live inside my own room, locked away. And after all, I was chosen. I was picked out. One girl from so many, he had plenty to choose from. I knew it was the only way I could live. That woman, she's very smart. The green cream is smart. Good shoes, good bag. And a neat ankle, he'd say. But no ring, after all. He chose me, and he didn't have to. When I was a child of 10, I prayed to be chosen. To be here alone, with the nice Irish girls feeling sorry for you, saying, go on, spoil yourself, have another egg, you fancy free, go on. And they've all got young men and babies to come. I wouldn't want to be alone, not daring to look up. I stood waiting to go to the church. And my dress felt stiff, and my face was stiff, and the shoes pinched. My hair was tight. I peered out of the window of my locked room inside and saw a bride in white with a white skin. For a moment I didn't recognize. But I loved that play, and the presents, the cutlery, and the china, and the linen, and the glass. The young couple, everybody waving. I was safe, and a room of my own with a key. I could never be alone. I'm used to the way he speaks to me. I can ignore it. He's a fool and mean over small amounts of money, but not a bad man. The signs here used to be so discreet. They were painted in gold on dark wood. Lounge, cloakroom, reception, staff. Now there are green lights bar snacks. There was never a bar. There are lights all over the town, and so much fun, so much pleasure. There are trips on the gaudy little boat at night. The children used to whine and bicker with each other, and after 3 days they were bored. Dig in the sand, splash in the sea, fresh air, explore the rock pools. Those children in blue shorts are common, Roger said. Ah, may I have a pot of tea, China tea with lemon, and some plain biscuits? Oh, it's too late for tea then. They have such fresh, bright faces, and they're willing girls. They're nice girls, friendly. The Irish girls always have good skins. They save their tips, saving to get married, saving for rainy days. Saving to run away. It's not a good life. Cleaning the rim of his shaving soap off the wash basin, pulling off the pillowcases, stained by the grease of our hair, drawing back curtain after curtain. Good morning, lovely morning. He'll have gone to sleep. He'll be lying on the bed with his shoes off. In India that year, I wanted to talk to Indians. In the streets, in the market, on the trains. That was a marvellous play. Bright and noisy. That crowded stage. India stinks, Roger said. And to the ayah, who nodded and smiled and bowed to him, so that he clapped his hands with delight. India stinks! India stinks! He cried. And she shouted too, something in her own tongue, and laughed, and he laughed at the appalling, cruel joke she couldn't share. India stinks. The boy's right, he said. No tea. But there is a kettle in the room. If she looks up again, I may smile. But perhaps it's too soon, too familiar. We've only just arrived. Perhaps tomorrow we shall nod as we go into breakfast. When he wakes, he'll be irritable and then want to walk. I used to walk in the sand without shoes. Sit on the rocks, years ago. Why not go? Before breakfast, very early. There will be a man walking a brown dog, and a machine spraying the gutters, grinding along. A few children. Sea, far, far out. A line of silver. The moon fading down. Put your finger into the centre of a sea anemone in the cold rock pool, and the tentacles close and harden and tighten. You shiver. The weed smells green and you lick the salt from your lips. Why not? Why not? And the Irish girl will slip in with the morning tray and open the curtains. Lovely morning, and he'll grunt and she'll turn. And he could have her there, quick on the bed. And afterwards money notes. Money to save for a wedding, for the house, for the rainy day. Money for running away. And on the beach I would stand in the pale sun. Bare feet. Cold sand. Unlock my door. Look outside. Safe. Now. Creep out carefully. Out of my shell, out of my locked room, into the sun. No one will see. Into the morning. Onto the sand, but the beautiful sea. And run and run and run. Leave them all. The empty house. The shell. The room, The bare bones washed clean and fetched up on the beach by the sea. Go, go, run and run. The early morning. Leave the old woman. Run.
That was Chances, two interlinked monologues by Susan Hill. The part of the girl was played by Judy Dench, and the woman by Peggy Ashcroft. The director was Richard Wortley.